Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Just Saying, Kelly Barlow, Cindy Burgess Gerson, Mia Hansen Aloha, and Christy Dougherty. We love you girls. Hey guys, Ronnie here. Welcome to Watch What Crappens. Ben is out of town, so I took this opportunity to cheat with one of my favorite people in the world, Miss Jackie Schimmel. You can find Jackie at her podcast, The Bitch Bible, which is effing hilarious. And she's also at Jackie Schimmel on Twitter and Instagram. Do not forget, we have a live show. Our New York date sold out, so thank you for everybody who's coming to that. We're also going to be doing an LA date over Labor Day weekend. And since it's a holiday weekend, it's our biggest house yet, and we're going to be doing sort of an experience out of it. We're going to do our show, but then we're going to find out some day activities to do during that weekend, too, so we can all hang out together. So if you want to come have a kick-ass holiday weekend, do it with us. You can find the ticket links at our website, watchwhatcrappens.com. Do that. Buy some tickets. Come see us. We are so excited and nervous and thrilled. And we're loving doing all of this and loving meeting you guys in real life. So come out and party with us, everybody. And until then, this week we have two shows. It's this one with Jackie, Real Housewives of Potomac. And then Thursday, we're going to cover Real Housewives of New York. I'm going to be doing that with Stephanie Wilder Taylor. And that's it. We're off the rest of the week. So enjoy this show. Come buy your tickets and have a kick-ass party week. My little independent flowers. Love you guys. This is a very special episode because Ben, as Ben does, went to take a vacation in some godforsaken place called Disneyland where he can't just be on the internet all day. So I decided to take a vacation where the internet is always shitty to my parents' house in Austin. So I'm laying in the guest room bed. There's like fake crystals hanging off of lamps. There's like plastic fucking plants all over this room. And I'm laying on my side, leaning on my elbow, talking to my new friend, Miss Jackie Schimmel of the Bitch Bible. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. I love your description about where you are and how you're laying. Are you wearing any clothes or are you nude?
Only because the cleaning lady's here. And if there's like a fire or something, or like I need to get some Mike and Ike's out the fridge. I don't want to terrify the poor woman. You know, she doesn't get paid enough.
Or arouse her.
I doubt that's going to work. I've been trying for years.
Oh, amazing. I'm very excited to talk shit with you.
I can't believe we didn't meet sooner. I'm kind of annoyed that we didn't meet sooner. Someone was trying to introduce us for years, and we would kind of like email back and forth. And, you know, like podcast world, it's like, whatever. And then we met and I found like my sister.
I know. I really, really loved you very instantly. And it could go one of two ways. So I'm very happy that, you know, we found love in a hopeless place. AKA my office.
AKA your office with fluorescent lighting. I can't believe you put up with that.
You know, I'm going to send an email, a strongly worded email. It's like it's the most hideous room in the world. I look like fucking Gollum died, threw up on themselves, and then like glued some sad, dewy hair onto my scalp. It's just the ugliest fucking place.
You don't. I'm trying to.
No offense.
I'm here with my, visiting my family, you know, and I have nieces. And I'm trying to teach the importance of, like, lighting and angles, you know? Like, when they take pictures of me, they're little, so they're taking them from low. And I'm like, I know that I look like an obese Hagrid monster to you, but if you just look at me how tall people look at me, you'd see that, you know, I've still got some game left in me, you know? So I've got these little girls standing on stools.
Oh, yes. Finding your light, maybe bringing a fan.
Hell yeah. So today,
I mean, you don't have any hair, but.
No, I don't have any hair.
Sorry.
It's okay. You know what? I hate myself for like being fat or like stuff that I could do something about, I'll give myself shit for, but like hair, like what are you going to do? You know?
Oh, I feel ya.
It's like, I'm going to be mad that I'm Lebanese. Like that doesn't even make sense. You know, you're stuck with that.
Oh, I'm Jewish. Believe me, I have the whole hair problem also. Sorry. Now I'm like Bogarting your podcast. Go ahead. Let's talk.
No, you don't. It's all about you.
Okay.
This is The Real Housewives of Calabasas with yes. Jackie Schimmel. So today we are skipping Invite Only Cabo because it turns out the entire world doesn't watch the same things me and Ben do. But it was the season finale of The Real Housewives of Potomac, and we are not going to be skipping that, okay? Not on this show.
Hell no.
So have you been watching the whole season of Potomac? Like, are you a true watcher of Potomac?
You know, shamefully, yes. Publicly, no. I mean, I like to tell people that I don't watch it just because I want to, like, I want to have, like, some shrivel of dignity. But the truth is I watch it every fucking week, real time. And this is how I feel about Potomac. And just let me know if you feel the same way. And I have this theory that, like, 85% of people who watch it feel this way. I get so angry watching this Real Housewives franchise because it is so underwhelming in all capacities. I think that they are – it's like a half-chub Real Housewives franchise. You know what I mean? Like, it does the job on a boring Sunday night, but it is entirely underwhelming. The houses are underwhelming. The trips are ratchet. The hair extensions, the outfits, like – I hate them all. Like, I don't like any of them, but I continue to watch because it's like this weird self-sabotage thing, and then I feel better about my life.
Yeah, I kind of hate it just because I feel like they don't make enough effort with it because they're just like coasting because they put it on after Real Housewives of Atlanta. And so they're like, okay, right. We'll just coast on that audience. We don't have to do anything. And that's not fair, you know? I mean, this season they did try to, like, amp it up by all getting new apartments or whatever. Like, instead of her her low-rent house with the white stove and stuff. We made fun of Giselle's white stove, I think, every episode last season. Because one of our friends, Angie, pointed out, she's like, that woman can pretend she's rich all she wants, but she's got a white stove. So, this season...
I mean, they all did.
Yeah. Yeah, and this season she's got, like, a new apartment with a black stove. So I was like, you know, I feel like we're making a difference in the world.
But, like, who does she have to fuck to get a stainless steel stove? I mean, what's going on here?
And you know she does have to fuck somebody to get that. And that's what makes me crazy about Giselle, is that she is acting like she's been doing this independent woman thing this whole season because she's jealous of Monique's money. So she's like, right. Well, you know, I'm not the kind of woman that has to, you know, rely on a man's money. I'm like, really? So you got all of that from, like, working at Whataburger? Get the fuck out of here. You got some man's money. I mean, it was a horny preacher, celebrity preacher. But it's still some man's money.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, Giselle. Calm the fuck down. Ugh.
And I think working for a man's money is a fucking job. Like, why do we have to be ashamed about that, you know? Monique's not like, yeah, I work for this money. You know, I have like a gigantic man on top of me every night. It's like being crushed by trees every night, you know?
Exactly. And she does it with honor.
Exactly. Hope, pride, okay? So we opened this episode with the fight, the low rent fight from last week in someone's living room. I forget whose living room this even is. But they're in some...
Shasha.
Oh, this is that's right, because it's after the champagne room.
Oh, my God. I threw up all over myself.
That champagne room. What did you think of the champagne room, first of all?
I thought it was kind of nice. I think it's a little bizarre. It's, like, the only renovated room in the entire series, so I'll take it. I mean, that just shows how low the bar is, because, like, I was kind of excited about it. And then I'm thinking... is like, this wouldn't hold up in Real Housewives in New York. This wouldn't hold up in Heather Dubrow's house. But it's just the bar is so low that I got a little bit excited just to see like a scraped ceiling and like a fucking light fixture that isn't from 1984. So I'll give it a go.
A ceiling without popcorn on it. Like, you guys, baby steps, you know?
Right.
One step for Bravo, but a giant leap for the cast of Real Housewives of Potomac.
It's like the highlight of the season. I'm like, wow. And like that sad little Party City, like print at home banner that she cuts with the scissors. And I was like getting excited. I'm like, whoa, guys, shit's really popping off in Potomac. And then I'm like, fuck, it's not even that big of a deal. Like this is low budge.
I know.
But I'll take it.
She even took off the sides of the paper with the holes on it that like pull it through the 80s printer, you know? It's like making an effort.
yes. Way to go, Safa.
But I love that she had the champagne room, but it couldn't even fit all the people. So she's like, okay, well, that's the champagne room. Let's go back to the living room.
exactly. So
here we are in the living room. And now everybody's decided to dogpile on Karen because she's like secretly moved. And now she's pretending that it was never a secret. She's like, well, you all know that I moved to Great Falls or whatever the hell it is. Gravity Falls, whatever. And she's trying to pretend it was never a secret. And Ashley says, well, now you're not going to be the Grand Dame of Potomac. She's like, you know, I will talk to the real people who bestowed that title upon me and not some idiot on the couch at the end of it. Which, disregarding the grammar.
How can you even say those things? How can you even speak like that and call yourself a Grand Dame when you have a, like, Raquel Welch paste on wig? Like, she really, really makes me so angry. I do not understand the entitlement. She's waltzing around Potomac with her canvas Tory Burch bag. Like, she's fucking Kate Middleton. I can't stand her. She makes me, like, cringe sweats on cringe sweats. Like, my tits are sweating just talking about this.
Yeah, she's got such dismay on her face that she's like puckering her lips all the time, and she's now got a permanent mustache from the shadow created by the line above her pursed lips. But yeah, I'm loving her,
God.
Like her double toned hair. It's ombre.
That is not ombre.
It's ombre in like the Mexican in the Mexican food term, you know, like taquitos ombre.
For sure, with an H.
So they're getting one of their, like, typical stupid fights where they know that it's the end of the show and they have to fight, but they don't really know why they're fighting. And so Ashley's like, you better confront your own situation before you call me stupid. Everyone has a lot of questions. And she's like, well, I upgraded. I just upgraded. I didn't downgrade. I upgraded. It wasn't a side grade. It was an upgrade. And that's basically the fight.
Who's your favorite out of the cast? Just wondering.
Well, like as a nice person or people to watch, I think Karen's probably the most fun to watch because I used to think that she was kidding. You know, I used to think she was putting on an act. Like Giselle will just stab someone right in their throat to kind of put on an act, you know,
just
to have anything to do. So I hate her. And I thought Karen was doing the same thing. But it turns out when we got that like secret mic recording of Karen in the hotel room when she thought the cameras left and she's like, how dare she speak to me like that, that little piece of trash. And like she was going off in her hotel room. I realized that she's never been kidding, which makes me kind of like her the most. How about
you? What? I hate to admit that, but I'm totally on board with you. I think Monique, even though she's like the only person with a house, she's not that interesting. Ashley, I respect the instigating that Ashley provides. So I'm going to give her that. I'm going to give her a gold star for that. Karen is probably the most interesting. I mean, Thotha, love to hate her. Robin is like Squidward from SpongeBob. Like, I have nothing to say about Robin, except she is very pretty. I'll give her that. But so fucking boring.
Yeah, she really
so
is.
Boring. So I'm going to give it to Karen.
Also, Robin's one of those people that, you know, your girlfriends who call you to, like, bitch about their relationships and stuff. And sometimes it's okay because you get to bitch about your relationship, too. And then you give each other advice and stuff like that. Robin's not that girl. Robin's that bitch who's been calling you for 20 damn years about the same man and the same problems. And, like, I made dinner for him and he didn't even say thank you. It's like, leave. You know?
Jesus, Robin. No, I totally. Yeah, she's a broken record. It's like, such a buzzkill.
She's a broke record. That's even worse. I mean, I get taking it I get if Monique's like, you know what? I'm being crushed every day. My back hurts. My knees hurt. I've been tossed around like a midget in an Irish bar. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm in pain.
But like, come over to my house for some boob and crab cakes. Like, I'm willing to put up with that, you know,
exactly.
For a catered top shelf bar. I'm down for that. What is Robin providing?
Like, literally
nothing.
Robin's that girl who will come to your house and cry and then, like, take your flour, your sugar, a few eggs, like, just shit to just make dinner, you know?
You're so right.
Not worth it, Robin. Bring something to the table. Although I do like once or twice a year that Robin gets worked up by Giselle. And so she's like, all right, I'll tell someone off. And then she goes and just starts telling someone off really angrily because Giselle's making her do it. Like,
yeah,
last year was the black Jewish storyline where they're like, you can't be black and Jewish. That doesn't even make sense.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
That was brutal. I mean, we went off on this show. We had like this big race fight. And then at the end, I'm like, wait a minute. We're like at each other's throats about Real Housewives of Potomac. Let's take a step back and remember that we love each other, okay?
Well, that was a very polarizing statement because you can imagine, like, if someone else had said that, if someone said you can't be, you know, what? It's very polarizing. Like, imagine if I said that or you said that, you know, we would be fucking ripped to shreds.
Exactly. Well, and then this year they dropped that because that was a little too much. And I like that that fight started in front of an outdoor air conditioning unit. That was like my favorite thing. You know, those big things outside in the side yard or whatever.
Of course.
But this year they can't do that. So they're fighting about like whether Robin's husband is cheating or not, which is so stupid. Like, of course he is. And it's not even cheating because they're not even married.
They're fucking divorced. Like, what's the confusion here? I'm over it. They just need to share their apartment because they can't independently finance their own gig. That is it.
Yeah. He needs someone to clean and she needs someone to like complain about to her friends.
Fuck her.
Yeah. Do you think he
once
does
every
that?
4 months. I think that after she whoops up, I'm assuming some type of a rice-based entree dish. And they have a couple glasses of Two Buck Chuck or Franzia from the box. Maybe things slip and they get it on.
A rice-based dish. So this is basically, this scene ends with a mystery because no one understands what Karen's doing. Sasha's like, they moved in the middle of the night. So they're all in, they're all on this huge mystery of what's going on with Karen and why she's being so weird about her move, which actually turns out to be a real mystery by the end of the episode. But Karen's like, well, I'm thinking we're going to have a party for my anniversary and for our housewarming. I'm thinking of something exotic, so embrace the word, girls. Details are forthcoming, and maybe all of you will be invited. I don't know. Like, everyone's driving, like, thrilled to drive how many ever miles to go to your low-rent party, Karen.
Yeah, please.
And Ashley tells her, I hope I'm included on the email chain, which is such a diss in itself.
I know. I was so bummed that no one picked up on that shady comment because it was so genius. And I don't even think it was intentional. I think that was just completely, I mean, that's so Potomac, right?
That is so Potomac because you know that
so
Karen.
So Potomac-y.
You know that Karen was probably planning on faxing invitations to everybody.
Oh, that bitch loves an Evite. I think they only rely on Evites.
And it's like the one with the ads all over it. They won't even pay like the 5 cents for the bulk send or whatever.
No. Yeah, you got to watch an ad for like some insurance company before you get invited to her fucking house.
So then we get kind of the little clips of what everybody's doing in Potomac. Ashley's spending her husband's money on a massage. Sasha's dressing her dog. Giselle is trying on a net jacket.
A trench, a very rapey Megan's Law trench. And then she's dancing. I like that. I enjoyed it personally.
And the people in the store are just like, oh my God, finally someone to get this net dress out of here and she won't leave. She's like, I've got to do a dance just in case anybody cares. No one does. Okay, so then we go over to Robin. So Robin has decided that, you know, it's the season finale, so she's going to pretend she hasn't had this conversation with Juan like 9 million times. And to make it really romantic, she's going through boxes of shoes while she does it.
And you know what? Here's something I was confused about. So apparently she was cleaning out their kids' shoes, but then why is she fucking wiping them down with like a toweled glove if she's giving them away? I was very confused by that.
Because giving away means sitting out on the lawn and waiting for people to, you know, give her offers. She's not giving that away. She is Goodwill.
That's so true. You know, I don't even know why I didn't put two and two together, obviously.
Yeah. Hey,
what would I do without you?
Girl, that is Goodwill. She is the Salvation Army, okay? There's going to be a Meals on Wheels passing by that house at any moment.
Oh god, okay, so let's see here.
She's like, I've talked to everybody about my situation except the person that matters most, Juan. So she's so she's wiping down kids' shoes and she's wearing stretch pants that are slit all the way up the sides and then relaced up, which, you know, I guess that's an effort that she's making. I don't really know what to
showing
say.
Showing a little leg?
Yeah. Showing a little upper thigh. Or showing a little upper hip, what every man is looking for. So she's
obviously
like, I've decided to tell Juan about the dating assignment. So Juan comes in. He's like, so you're cleaning shoes? Awesome. Like, he hates her. He can barely hide how much he hates her. He's like, I put on makeup for this scene. What the fuck do you want? So he said he got an opportunity to be on the winning side, but my mom was like screaming obscenities at the TV so loudly while I was trying to watch this damn show that I missed the line and I didn't want to rewind it. Do you know what he was talking about?
Oh, he was the winning side.
Yeah, I thought he said something was he talking about getting a job or something?
Yeah. So he was offered a job to coach a women's basketball league.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Juan is obsessed with being on things that nobody watches. It's weird.
I know, right?
So that's going to happen in 6 months? Is that what the thing is?
Apparently. No. The six-month thing I kind of tuned out. Every time Robin's on the screen, I kind of like, you know, get a refill of whatever I'm drinking. But apparently in 6 months, that's kind of their deadline to see whether they're going to like be together or start dating new people entirely. So, you know, they make this pact to like get to know each other and spend more personal time together. And she like pops a boner because he's like, yeah, maybe we'll go out to dinner. And she like fucking loses her shit. Like, what? You live together. You are married. Like, are you really that fucking excited? This guy hates you. So that was kind of the 6 month ultimatum, if you will.
I thought they were okay. That's why I was asking, because I missed that line. So I thought he said when he was getting a job that would start in 6 months, which was giving them that 6 month thing. Because she's like, well, I guess we could try for 6 months. And so I thought, yeah, nice deadline. It's because he's leaving then or something, but. I just didn't hear. And you know what? This was much better than actually pressing rewind. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Their dates, I feel like it's going to be like a Sonic drive-through, because they'll both have to face forward and they'll have something in between them, which will like prevent him from touching her.
Right. A divider and like something. Yeah, at least some type of a distraction so they don't have to rely on their stimulating conversation and yeah, mediocre personalities.
Hey babe, remember that time you cleaned shoes? Yeah. It's like, okay.
That was fun.
All right, I'm gonna go ask for the bathroom key. Be back. Like, that's so romantic. It's working. Okay, so now
we're in love.
So now let's go see Karen's home. This is not Karen's new home. I don't know who Karen is trying to trick, but Ray,
no fucking way.
There is no fucking way. Ray was like, okay, I'm going to buy this house, this giant mansion. There's no possible way. She went from like a corded phone on the wall, like a microwave oven from the 80s, a white stove, a fax machine to this. There's no way.
No. Well, it is a rental.
I don't even believe it's a rental. Do you? Because they explain by the end, and it's just like a little tiny thing where Monique is telling who? Like Robin or someone? That.
That they were leasing to maybe possibly buy.
Yeah, like a rent to own, like one of those furniture places. I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case either. And the only thing I keep thinking about is like, you know, I obviously don't know Potomac the real estate market over there. But if it's not in Potomac and whatever Great Falls is, which sounds like it's not so nice, maybe she was able to get the best house on the block, but they're underneath the freeway or something. So maybe there's like some type of a real estate market, like contingency so that she can get a really big house but in a really shitty area. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's true. Maybe there's like a 7-Eleven right behind it that you can see from the backyard or something.
Well, the house, when you look at it from the, you know, there's a shot where they show you the house. And close up, it looks kind of grand. But when you kind of like, you go out of frame and you see there's a house right next to it. It looks a little prison yardy, landscaping wise in the front and the back.
I also noticed that they were doing a shot of the house, like, from below, like I'm trying to teach my nieces not to do of me. But they were, like, aiming the camera up from the curb on the street and, like, aiming up to make it look, I guess, bigger or whatever. There was something fishy about it. And then the scene where they're supposedly unpacking, but they're not unpacking anything. I think they're just boxes there. I think that this is, like, a week-long rental so that she could film the finale at her house, and then they're in some condo after this.
And like, why were they in a tent? If it's this big grand home with the chandeliers, like why do you have a tent in the backyard?
Yeah, they're hiding something. There's something fucked up here. I agree with you. I'm gonna go with they're hiding the 7-Eleven neon glow from behind their house. I'm just gonna pretend that that's true.
I'm gonna go with you on that. I agree.
So they talk about this party they're going to have, and she's like, well, I wanted it to be exotic. I'm thinking Indian, you know, and then people can dress in Indian garb as well. And he goes, like belly dancers or something. She's like Bollywood. And he looks so concerned. And she's like, Ray, is it your heart? Ray, does your arm hurt? What is it? Should I call the doctor? And he's like, we're not Indian. We're African. I can get out my old dashiki.
Oh, my God.
And then from behind me, my mom goes, what's a tzatziki? She's like wasted behind me playing canasta with my dad. I was like, never you mind, Mom.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
If you don't know by now.
Like something exotic. Something Bollywood. Slumdog Millionaire. Like, okay, girl.
I was thinking a little cashew chicken. What's that? Bollywood.
Tandoori. Perhaps a sag paneer. Cheaters.
I love all that mushy food. It's a little indiscernible.
But you have to use the porta potties because they can't clog up their rental toilets.
You know that's true,
obviously,
too. There's probably, like, tape over the toilet because the water hasn't been turned on. So they decide that they're going to compromise, and they're going to do an African and Indian party at the same time. And she goes, it's fabulous. It's inclusive. Everything a Hygge party is known for.
Inclusive. Oh, my God. Building bridges in Potomac. Building bridges. I mean, the best, I mean, I know you're going to get to it, but I just can't wait. When Monique walks in, like one of the village people, I my mouth hit the floor. Like, I gasped. Literally gasped.
That was so funny. And I like that Sasha was like, I know she's trying to have fun, but she doesn't really fit in with all the Potomac people. I'm like, really? Really? You think that she was really going for the whole fitting in thing? She's wearing, like, a huge headdress.
Now, do we think that she intentionally wanted to stand out and, like, wear a different outfit and have some type of a controversy? Or do we really think that she's maybe not that bright? And when they said Indian, she used the, like, politically incorrect terminology.
I think that she used the political. I think that she didn't even know, because Karen said, Did you get my invitation? Did you see that it was Indian? Did you dress as a Native American Indian? And she's like, yes.
So, I had a flashback of Carol Radswell and Countess Luann when Carol was really upset that Countess Luann was referring to herself as an Indian and careful for your scalp, baby. That's all I could think about.
And do you remember that was also when someone was explaining that she has a second set of teeth behind her teeth, but they're all like.
I forgot about that.
They're all pointing towards her throat. It's like they're laying down behind her mouth. And I've always just thought of Luann peeling fruits, you know, because she's got
or
those
giving
like
blow jobs.
Just skinning penises.
Skinning Tom alive.
I've never been able to get that out of my head when I see Luann. And she's like, well, you know, all I care about is being sexy for my man. I'm like, oh my God, that poor thing is going to lose a penis one day.
She's going to orally Lorraine Bob at him. With her second pair of teeth.
On total accident.
Oh, my God.
Giselle and Kevin go on a date. Like, I literally cannot care with Giselle. It's so fake. Do you think this thing with Kevin is real, or do you think she just needed something to do?
She just needed something to do. I mean, it's very forced. Giselle is smart enough to, like, I mean, and I use that term pretty loosely. She's trying to have a storyline, you know? And obviously, this was her sad attempt at it. I mean, he's not even hot. It was like there's no passion. She kind of gives me asexual vibes.
Yeah, I think she's probably just been hurt so much that she doesn't believe in love anymore, guys.
Oy vey.
One thing I will say for her is in one scene this season, she was cooking. And her mom was like, what are you making? And she said, popovers. These kids just need bread. So I looked up popovers and I made them, and I've been making them like 3 times a week ever since. So I will say thank you, Giselle, for that, because they're lovely.
Oh, send me the recipe. I love a popover.
They're so easy and they're so good. And I have to mention that my dad in the background of this scene said, she's got the name of a biblical whore, but it's spelled wrong. I was like, yeah, that's this show.
God, the more you know. Can I watch the show with your parents? I feel like I'm getting like such inside information.
They're the worst. The best part is when I'm here during Real Housewives of Orange County. I was playing Orange County, one of the reunions one time where Vicky's like, I am not a whore! Or whatever, you know, Vicky was screaming at the reunion. And my mom was like, these women are disgusting, monstrous whores.
But like, the best.
I was like, they're the best in the business, baby. Okay, so Monique goes to look at her new home in wherever, in Potomac. And Chris is like, it's the kitchen. We're going to make food for our babies in the kitchen. He didn't say anything interesting, but I just like how he talks.
Me too. It's kind of sexy. In a not sexy way.
And I guess they don't have the AC turned on in there, so he's like, I might go Alabama style and put a fan in the window. And she's like, well, do you
and
think...
And a shark tank.
I like that they added that in the end thing. They're like, she's already got a shark tank in her new kitchen.
Oh, God.
Let's see. Nothing happened here, right? Charisse
no,
arrives.
Not really.
Oh, so all the girls come over. And Charisse is like, we need to have a spell. We need to do a thing, but spelling the thing. So they go around, like, burning sage. I feel like Charisse hasn't really done that in her house because she's still there.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. But, you know, maybe that was Sasa and not Charisse, you know? She comes out once in a blue moon.
Sasa.
That's so Sasa of her.
I love this, that she kept going, whoa, pretty house. Where's the champagne room? And so no one really reacted. So later they're like, hey, here's cheers to the new house. And she's like, now you need a champagne room. It's like, you're not going to make champagne rooms happen, okay?
Like, just keep trying. I mean, I respect her for it at least. But I mean, she does that a lot, actually. She like repeats the same shit over and over and over. She's hoping that something's going to stick and people are going to like her, and people are going to be like, you go, Thassa, but it never works out for her, ever.
Yeah, you know that every night while this airs, while everybody else is fighting on Twitter, she just keeps searching for hashtags to see if anything's caught on. Champagne room.
Desperately.
Thassa!
So awesome.
Okay, so the girls go the girls go shopping at the Indian store. Let's see, did anything funny happen here? Robin's like, we're going to the Indian themed African store. Text chain. They look over some text chain.
How convenient,
chain.
By the way, that they have one of those. I've never seen one of those in my whole fucking life. And just casually in Potomac, they have like an Indian like sari store, like in a strip mall.
I don't think that anybody knew it was there because they all act so shocked. Like every one of them said something when they came in. Like Robin said, whoa, there's so many colors. You know.
Wow, you're so observant, Robin. Ooh.
I think that they were all probably thinking it was Native American Indians until they got to the store. And they're like, wait a minute. There's a lot of glitter in here. So let's see. Now they start the mystery. Robin's like, what's going on with this party? Is Karen hiding something? And Thassa's like, it's a mystery. I'm getting to the bottom of it. So let's see. Now we get to the big... Oh, yeah. Is that your dog?
Yeah, my dog's an asshole.
Man, that Sorry. Dog is dramatic. That wasn't even so a bark. Dramatic. That was one of those like...
Yeah, he's really needy, and he's also mildly racist, so anytime like somebody walks by the house, he freaks out. We're working on it. I'm sending him somewhere, but it's, you know, it's
a
work in
progress. Is he a chihuahua?
No, he's a shih tzu, but he hates people in hats, and he really only likes, like, white women with blonde hair.
My dog loves women and hates men, especially old men. Like, my dog is ageist.
Good for him, or her.
It's a him.
I respect that.
I used to have a female dog, and she hated children. So I was kind of with both of my dogs, actually.
Oh, my God. Children are so annoying. I mean, only like 20% of them are cute and lovely. The rest of them, ugh, put them on an island somewhere. That's going to get me in trouble.
I can attest to that. As I was one of those horrible children that people wanted to put on an island. Like, people who knew me as a child... still look at me when they see me again, like, oh, hello. Well, you're still here, eh? You're still with us.
I'm the same way. I was the worst. I would have hated myself. I can't believe my parents didn't shit me away or like leave me on someone's doorstep. I was a nightmare.
My parents literally did all those things, and I just kept coming back.
And look at us now. We're so lovely and gracious and elegant.
I know. Thank God we were born in this time. You can just talk your own shit, just, you know, to a select amount of people, and it all works out. My mom's like, this is so unfair. Yes. My mom has been waiting for karma to nip me in the bud her whole life, and it just never happens. She's so pissed.
We get celebrated for being obnoxious and irritating. It's like kind of the best thing ever. It's justice for annoying people like us.
My mom
annoying
is,
kids.
My mom is still convinced that I'm just saying I'm gay to piss her off. Because I never I never bring home boyfriends. I never do any of that. She's like, I told you he was fucking with us. I'm like, yeah.
That would be pretty epic. I'm not gonna lie.
You don't know what a dashiki is. I'm never bringing anybody to this house. Okay. Karen is putting her party makeup on, and she's like, my black prince, turn me on. My mom's like, gross, from behind me. The guests arrive, and there's no furniture in the house. And my dad goes, why are they playing Caribbean music?
A valid question.
So Karen gives Ray her gift, which is her boudoir pics. And he goes, what's this? And she goes, it's your wife. In your shirt. And he's like, wear the clothes. And then they show the picture. She's wearing like black tights, a shirt, a mask, a wig. I'm like, what more do you need, Ray? Jesus Christ. She's not a handmaid.
By the way, was that the most like ratchet, like boudoir photo shoot? She looks like one of those you know those Halloween costumes? They're called Leg Avenue. That is like a slutty superwoman, but it's all poly blend and it rips like midway through Halloween. And it's just fucking stankin' everywhere with her leg pop and like the fedora. Like she's fully covered. It looks like she took the photo on Ashley's flip phone, which we haven't even talked about yet. The bitch has a flip phone. It's unbelievable. And then she went to a FedEx office and she's like, can you blow this out and put it on a fucking, like, it was the craziest shit I've ever seen. I'm like, wow, you really spoil your man, Karen.
It reminded me of one of those, like, old people shake. They're, you know those old people shakes that are, I don't know, they're filled with calcium or something? And there used to be an old star who did them, and she would be kind of acting like she's tap dancing, like learning a shuffle ball change. And then she'd throw her top hat up in the air and be like, I can do it because calcium. It's like the same outfit
right.
that she's using.
It's like Liza Minnelli in Sex and the City 2.
It's like Liza Minnelli in everything ever since Liza Minnelli was born. Liza Minnelli loves a button down
True.
With some tights, girl.
She does.
Just, I saw her in Vegas when I was a kid, and I just remember really long scarves, and they would turn on wind machines, and she would be like, my scarf is blowing! And it was just like all this weird scarf movement. And I loved it. Don't get me wrong.
I love that, too.
Okay, let me see here. So Giselle and Charisse, who are the worst human beings on this show, or probably any Bravo show, always come up to every party just judging it. And Giselle is
the worst. Right, because they're in a position to judge.
Yeah. Giselle is the worst about it. But they're grabbing, like, the golden geese decorations outside. She's like, what is this? A goose? What is this? What is this supposed to be? This place is huge. Like, she's all mad about it. So they're just,
totally.
Like, touching all the decorations, like, mad about the decorations for some reason. And then Charisse starts doing her Murder, She Wrote thing and just going up to random people. She's like, hello, Karen friend. Now, have you seen their furniture? Where is it? And why did they move so fast? And the lady's like, I don't know. Do you have any idea if there are going to be appetizers? Because I'm literally starving to death. There's, like, no food.
No food, no booze.
Yeah. And now they've changed to Casio keyboard African music, I guess. Like little donk, ticka donk, da donk, donk, da donk, donk. And Monique enters in her Village People outfit.
Oy, that was aggressive.
So we basically start cutting all over the place for the rest of this episode. And the ladies basically aren't believing Karen. But it really ends in a fairly benign way. I mean, we've been watching Karen sobbing in the previews, like, oh, someone confronted me at my African Indian party. But that didn't even happen. I mean, that was, we've got a surprise for you, Mom. And then over, like, the speakerphone put into a microphone, you hear, Karen, it's Mom. Happy house time. She's like, oh, my mom.
That really pissed me off. You know what? It was just, it was so overdone. And I was really hoping that on the finale, they were going to like bust something out. It was promoted like all will be revealed. It was Karen's move and blah, blah, blah. So I was really excited about it. And then to know that the crying scene is not because like her bankruptcy papers were exposed at her party, but it was her fucking mom wishing her happy birthday. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
I know. She was acting like her mom found a corded phone in heaven or something. It's like, you know she's still alive, right? And also she's like, well, ever since the early onset Alzheimer's that my mother suffered from. Like, she's 90. She is not early onset, Karen. That's like totally normal onset, you know,
exactly.
Alzheimer's or whatever. But she keeps trying to pretend that she's some young wife. Even earlier in the show, she was like, to all the girls who marry older men, do not let them relocate you when you're not ready or downsize you when you're not ready. I was like, you're like 5 years apart.
They're like 6 months apart.
I was being generous. I was giving her credit for her new wigs that cover, you know, the half of her head that's usually hanging out.
That's true.
And I think the only other thing that really stood out at this end was when she and Ray gave each other speeches and then made out really hard in front of everybody. my mom gave out a visual, and then they cut to some lady just looking disgusted.
It was pretty vile to watch. I mean, I don't love watching people make out to begin with. I mean, if they're hot and it's hot and whatever, but like that was a little too much. It felt a little doc protest too much. Like they were putting on a show. The whole evening was a show to me. The tent, the dancers, the fire, the whole, the thrones, like the awkward thrones they're sitting in.
Oh,
what are you doing?
God. Oh, God. Well, they're like, maybe if we gross them out enough, they won't, you know, see the for rent sign on the lawn that the goose is trying to cover up.
Exactly.
And that brings us to the end of this. The reunion looks crazy, but basically, I think they're just all accusing each other of cheating on their husbands, right?
Yeah, it looks like, is it Shasha who throws out the accusation that she heard that Karen has a boyfriend? But that's just, I don't believe that.
Well, yeah, and Thatha's a liar. Like, she'll lie about anything. She doesn't care. Remember last year at the
She's
end of the finale?
She's a deflection queen.
Remember the year, last year at the end of the reunion, she goes, Andy's like, okay, everybody, cheers to a great season. And she goes, wait a minute, I have an announcement to make. This show ruined my marriage. And they're like, okay. Well, cheers.
Like, okay, cheers. I'll drink to that.
Nothing a new hoverboard can't fix.
Oh, Thatha. Poor, poor Thatha. You know, they all look pretty good at the reunion, though. Ashley looks good.
Oh, yeah. Ashley does look good. I think she maybe got... Does she look like she got something done? Her eyes look different, but good.
No, I think that's just a keratin treatment and like a good straightening iron.
Oh. Oh, girl, you have so much to teach me.
I have so much to teach you. No, she looks pretty good. And, I mean, Karen is just a lost cause. I'm still getting over her turquoise BB bandage dress that she wears in the interviews. I mean, that is like whoever told her to wear that fucking hates her. She has no friends because anyone with a pulse and like one eye, you don't even need two, would look at her and be like, what the fuck are you thinking with that uniboob in your bandage dress? Like, you've got to be fucking kidding me right now. And no one is saying that to her because nobody likes her.
Yeah, Karen really loves a full body up to the jingle. I mean, up to the, what do you call that? The turkey jiggle under your neck? The waddle.
The gob. Oh, yeah.
The full neck up to the waddle swimsuit dress. She's always loved
that. It's not a good look.
She's whipped those out every season. So that brings us to the end of Potomac. Thank you so much for coming in today and filling in with me, girl.
Oh my God. Anytime. I had the best time with you. Let's do this all the time.
Yes, please. Get you a little USB mic at your house and we can just sit here and talk every day about something.
Love it.
I'm bored. I have no friends.
Me either.
Thank you so much. Tell everybody where you want them to find you.
You can find me on my podcast called The Bitch Bible. It's out every Tuesday. It's on iTunes, so you can search it there. Or follow me at Jackie Schimmel, S-C-H-I-M-M-E-L, on Instagram and Twitter and Grindr and whatever the fuck you can find me on. I'm there.
Are you on Grindr as like one of those people just looking for friends?
I actually do have a Grindr account because I thought it would just be interesting, but I'm not really looking for any friends.
I like your style, girl. Jackie, thank you so much. We will talk to you next time. The only shows we're doing this week are this one, and then I'll be back Thursday with Real Housewives of New York with Stephanie Wilder Taylor. So we will talk to you then, everybody. Bye!